Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views. From absinthe to Zinfandel. First for news. News for thirst.
Hello, listeners, and welcome again to our podcast, It's the Drink Talking, where today we are recording in a new environment. We're in an office space. It's a charming corner office space with beautiful big windows.
Workman opposite.
Yeah, there's quite a lot going on. There's a lot of visuals. But the only reason to tell you that is because there might be some extra noises here. The mice might be getting into this part of the
sounds
office.
Like a kind of, you know, that noise,
flushing.
That urinal.
Yeah,
noise,
yeah, no, exactly.
Kind of...
Yeah, so a bit like on a science fiction film and there's that weird space hum.
Yes.
But it's not quite as exciting as that. but yes, just bear with those extra noises as we go through our fantastic podcast. We're going to be tasting drink, talking about drink, pouring drink into your ears.
Yes, nice one, Tom. Your signature intro. I like it.
I've never heard that before.
my name is Tom Sandham. I'm the spirits expert, and today I am hosting. That's a very glamorous term for what anyone does on this podcast. And I'm with Sam Capon, Mistress of Wine. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
Good. And Ben McFarland, our beer expert.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, all right. Although my hernia has been playing up.
You do not have a hernia.
I do. I've had a couple of hernias.
Have you?
Yeah. Had a big operation a couple of years ago on them.
Why has it gone back? Did you have mesh or surgery?
Well, interestingly, the consultant said that... he did the repair work and they put a big mesh over part of my
internal organs. That's why it's not working, they're rubbish. You need to speak to my father.
Well, then it popped out again. It came up above the mesh.
That's because mesh is shit.
Yeah, the consultant said...
You need surgery.
Is it like a bubble in a carpet?
It was surgery, it was keyhole surgery. But then he said he wanted to have another look just because he was curious as to why there was another hole there.
My dad is a general surgeon and has done does a lot of hernias. He's sadly now retired, but he says mesh is shit.
Oh, it's good to know now, because they stapled that in and it was quite a large piece of mesh.
Can we not bring your dad out of retirement? One last hurrah.
Give it a go.
Ben, come round. You're all right? Are you?
Well, no, I fell down the stairs today.
I'd give you an opportunity to talk about
that. No, I had a terrible start to the day. I picked up my little 1.5-year-old out of his cot, carried him down the stairs. He talks to me. He's very lively in the morning. And I missed
that.
A step or... Yeah,
did you drop the baby?
No, I quite heroically kept the baby aloft.
Were you not holding on to the banister?
I don't know if that's heroism or just the done thing.
No, yeah, it's a done thing, yeah. If I'd been able to work a way of him cushioning my fall, I would have done it. But I actually landed on the, you know, you have those baby gates and they have the girl on the bottom that go. I haven't shown you this.
You're a
bad
one.
Actually, it does look quite bad, actually. Yeah. I was chuckling at that story until I saw the evidence.
What would your father have said to that?
He'd have said,
shut up,
stop
moaning.
Well, it's quite funny because when I went upstairs to get my oldest son's clothes and brought them down to get him dressed, as I walked downstairs and walked into the hall, he went, "Well done, Daddy. You didn't fall over a second time."
He knows the limits of your skill. Okay, here we go. So that's our week, listeners.
It's my drinking arm,
is that mostly what you use it for, Ben? I'm not so sure.
No.
I had a highlight, chaps, this day. I met a bona fide listener.
I'll
go first, shall I? So I was tasting yesterday at a competition, judging, called the Sommelier Wine Awards, and I was just about to leave, first out the door, I like to taste fast, and a very nice chap came up to me called Harry. Hi, Harry. And said how much he liked the show.
Good.
Wasn't related to me, hadn't paid him.
Brilliant. It's and working.
And he's in the wine world.
It's working, Sam.
Oh, that's good. Well, I was in a pub at... No. I was at a pub, Mother's Day, Express Tavern in Kew. Really nice pub. And two guys came up to me and went, "You're Ben." I was just a bit weird. And they'd come to see the show, but they listened to the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And they said they really like it. And he said, "We should do cider." Oh. I didn't have the heart to tell him that I know no one knows anything about cider.
Well, apart from our own cider.
Of course, we know a lot about our hobo cider, East available cider. In all good it's online drink shops.
People are listening. Learn about cider quickly and do a cider tasting.
Yeah,
we'll I think that's in our capabilities.
I think it might be your...
apples.
Because actually...
It's a friend of mine who I used to work with does actually have her own cider company. And actually, my sister-in-law also works for a cider company, Gospel Green, and my friend is called Little Pomelo. So I'm sure I can get some samples in and we'll look into it. Let's do a cider tasting.
Cider making is closer to wine making than it is to brewing.
We'll do a cider tasting within the next two months. A nice summary tasting.
If we're still on air after this rambling. Shall I go on to my spit or swallow?
Please do so. Okay.
Go on.
I'll swallow first. I'm swallowing women. They're all over the news. We've just had International Women's Day, Mother's Day, International Women's Day. I don't know if anyone here heard about it. It was quite.
They made
quite a big noise. They're good at that.
Can I tell you, they had quite a few things in the paper about everyone posting stuff about, look at all our great women working for us. Although actually, all women have been working for free pretty much all year until Women's Day because of the gender gap, pay gap.
Right.
What I did really like was BO running flights with women-only pilots.
Yes, I saw that as well. It was a very good publicity stunt because that is all it is, a publicity stunt.
Well, I agree, and
women.
I did wonder if they were being paid the same as the men, but I just thought I'd either one there. But yes,
there was a tragic story. One of the pilots said she went into a school to do a school talk, and one of the little boys said, this lady's a pilot, and his mate turned around and said, "No, women can't be pilots."
Well, actually, that was really interesting. Wow. Yeah, there was a thing, I was quizzing my son on the car this morning on the way to school. It was saying that even at a really young age, children decide what gender you can be to be a job. So apparently, beauticians, nurses, vets, perceived as being jobs for women, whereas surgeons, lawyers, whatever, and pilots would be perceived as a male job. So I was doing a quiz to my son in the car this morning saying, what did you think a vet was? And he was saying man or woman. What do you think about a pilot, man or woman? Nurse, he said man or woman. He did pretty well, actually.
That's surprising because I'd say definitely women.
But a dustman, I've never seen a female dustman.
They're big in Spain, actually. And they're really glamorous. They all dress up and wear makeup. They were on the streets at 5 a.m. What else would they have been doing? All made up like that. Anyway, so that's women. Women are important, obviously. And they managed to organise an entire day for themselves. So pat on the bum for that. Well done. That was directly taken off from Viz, who put a letter out. That was a very good letter. Well done, Viz. We do love Viz. But anyway, I don't know that women need massive championing in our industries because there are great women who've been doing things for a long time. And as we've discussed on this podcast in the past, women have a better palate than men. It's been scientifically proved. So I think they are already doing quite well in the world of spirits. But even so, it's good to sort of give them an extra pat on the bum. but also because they have announced the winners, so I'm not ruining anything for anyone. But the World Whiskey Awards, one of the big winners there this year has been Bunnahabhain. They've picked up a hell of a lot of awards in the Islay category, so best 12 year and under, 13 to 20 years for their 18-year-old and 21-year-old, and oval for their 25-year-old, and their no age statement. So four key awards. And the reason this is relevant is because of the distiller there, Kirsty McCallum, Dr. Kirsty McCallum, another great woman in the industry and a doctor, and she's making this stuff. And when you're going up against some of the big hitters on Islay whiskies. You've got Ardbeg there, Lagavulin, which we're massive fans of. There's a lot of great whiskey there. So to have done all of that, well done her.
Well done her.
Non-patronising.
Yeah, it's difficult not to be though, isn't it? Well, that's the thing within the drinks industry. Johnny Walker launched the first ever Johnny Walker label with a woman on it instead of a man. And there was a mixed response to that, wasn't
it? It was Jane Walker, wasn't it?
It seemed to elicit a lot of disagreement with some women who felt that it was quite patronising. I think it's a fine line to tread between celebrating women and just patronising
them.
BrewDog
did this thing as well. They released this thing called Pink IPA, a ladies' version of the Punk IPA, but it was an ironic stab at people who do just that thing. But that in itself backfired because it didn't really move things on. Speaking from the beer world, any attempt to produce a beer aimed at women has been an unmitigated disaster.
The thing is, it can't help but fall into like gender stereotyping, because the whole point is anything like a beer or wine or anything should be gender neutral. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's different, and what you like isn't really according to your gender, it's according to your palate. So then to make something pink, if it's ironic, I'd say that's quite funny. But even so, it is the base saying, girls like pink. You know, and actually, that is definitely nowadays a kind of thing we're trying to step away from. And even going back to, like, women in the industry, if you think of massive multiple grocers, I would suggest most will have be run by men. And if you think of even, I think probably buyers is fairly, fairly mixed. But I'd still think in most parts of the alcohol industry, I'd be surprised if at the very, very top, you know, sitting on boards and whatnot, there's definitely not more majority of
I mean, certainly when it comes to making it, there are a lot of women
when it gets
now
to
who
more
are controlling
level,
the flavours that we're enjoying.
Lots of
so.
Brilliant women winemakers, champagne makers,
brewers?
All that kind of
there are women brewers.
Yeah, lots of women brewers. I mean, Sam, in your experience, have you ever encountered prejudice as a woman within the world, the wine world? Have men behaved badly?
Really.
Do you, if you think you would have got further in your career, and you've got very far, you've done very well, considering. No,
against all odds.
Against all odds, not the gender, just generally.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I'd say there's a couple of jobs I suspect if I was a guy, I would be paid more.
Okay.
Well, that's prejudice.
But that's completely unsubstantiated. That's just, that's just a gut instinct.
Okay.
That they probably. Just, I don't know,
well, I think we should name names.
Yeah.
Who is on the painting?
Don't caveat this shit. Come on.
I don't know. I'd say not really. But I can't help thinking that in the world in general, guys generally get paid
more. Oh, yeah,
more
absolutely.
Money.
That's been proven. But it's just it was just interesting in the wine world where I probably think it's out of the beer, wine and spirits, I'd imagine that's the least.
But when you start working for larger companies, which arguably is a wine company but has operated like an FMCG, they're not getting into that area.
Okay. Well, it still exists. More Women's Days is what we need, isn't it?
Every day, is
every day,
day
is a Women's
as
Day.
As I said to my wife.
Yeah.
Not went that well.
So that was my swallow, women. Plenty of other women in the industry in the world of spirits. Joanne Moore at Greenall's. She's making great gins like Bloom Gin. Joy Spence at Appleton Rum. Appleton Rum, one of the great rums of the world.
Lovely
Jamaican
stuff.
Rum. She's a very talented woman. Lorena Vasquez as well at... another rum at Zacapa Rum.
But the original brewers were women.
Well, of course.
Ailment, brewsters, they were.
Yeah.
It was originally the domain of the female.
Well,
it'd
be perceived as domestic.
Exactly. And then it wasn't until it became commercially viable.
Then I think it might
have been. Of course,
it
was all seen as part of the domestic duties. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Cleaning,
different times, different times. You know, men were out hunting dinosaurs and that. And chasing stuff with spears, whereas the women had their roles, and brewing was very much part of that. And they also were seen as having a spiritual link to the gods because they thought the gods were giving them alcohol, fermentation.
That's enough of Ben's
women.
Ham-fisted attempt at history there, which started with men and dinosaurs. This is distinct. Issue of extinction you've kind of overlooked. But that's my swallow. I don't want to be patronising. And we're not just doing it for the sake of it, you know, just to show that we love the ladies, you know, because we're really right on. But yeah, that's partly the reason I did that. Anyway, my spit is Russian leaders, particularly Vladimir Putin, who poisoned some people.
Allegedly.
Before we start this, let's have allegedly overarching this whole thing.
Let's do what Theresa May did, though, and call him out.
Yeah.
There's a ballsy woman. She did it. She called him out. Like, there's going to be trouble if you are responsible. We don't know if he is or he isn't. We do know that there was some state-funded drug implications with their sports, though. So when it comes to putting toxins into other people...
They're not backwards about
coming
forwards.
They have form.
Yeah, they do.
There was a documentary on that on Netflix, so I'm pretty sure that's all accurate, Vlad, if you're listening. But he doesn't put toxins into his own body. Now, Ben, we were talking about this a bit earlier, and you were slightly disputing it. But
disputing it.
Yeah.
Done there. Very good.
Well, it's kind of... yeah. Anyway, he apparently has come out recently and said he doesn't drink. Now, you've heard something to contradict this previously, but I think this is a recent change in lifestyle.
I think he went to university in East Germany and became very fond of a beer there that then Merkel kept on sending him as a gift because he has a real taste for it, Whether or not he drinks it or not, I don't know.
Right.
But I think he has drunk in the past. But
I think he doesn't not drink. He's not a complete abstainer, it should be said. Mm. Pusin does apparently drink only at formal receptions. So he does have a big abstinence around it, though. He says he tries to stay sober for religious reasons. He's got quite a serious health regime. Interestingly, and this could be a dubious source, but Getty Images were on the webpage, so I'm going to use that as my fulcrum for fact. He has a strict routine. He sleeps into the late hours of the morning, though, on a daily basis, so he's not an early riser. Doesn't really eat his first meal until noon, and then he has an omelette. Even though it's lunchtime, he still has sort of breakfast things like omelettes and porridge. And he doesn't drink coffee until after his breakfast, which seems like a strange decision to make. I'm going to drink it, but just not till after I've eaten. But he cannot be served milk products when he travels, and any food served to Pusin by host must be checked. So an actual official taster, just like the Tsar's.
Yeah,
that's amazing, considering what's going on at the moment.
Yeah.
He obviously feels slightly paranoid about...
What was the restaurant that this guy was allegedly poisoned by Putin? Allegedly.
Zizi.
Was it Zizi's?
Yeah.
Was it? I once found a snail in my salad in Zizi's.
But I think that he should possibly take a leaf out of Boris Yeltsin's
book. Yeah, he was a very good drinker.
He was a massive drinker, and it didn't do him any harm. So perhaps he should get on the vodka. We did a bit of reading around Boris Yeltsin for our show, actually, one year. And one of the interesting things about him was he was quite a wayward child. And when he was a kid, he was mucking about with a hand grenade. And
as
it blew
do.
His finger and his thumb off. Which is interesting, because I've never really noticed that about him. If you see him in pictures, look closely, and he hasn't got a finger
or thumb. Going.
But he did drink a lot. There are various stories about his drinking escapades. One of our favourites was when he stayed at the White House as a guest. He was drinking quite heavily and snuck past Secret Service bodyguards in his underpants and hailed a taxi and went out for a pizza. I mean, what a
He
ledge.
Was brilliant.
What a ledge. He could be one of our legends of liquor, but he did
Are
have
you sure
a problem,
he hasn't been
really.
Already?
No, I don't think we could
I
really
think we've talked about the Russians
up.
Before, but...
We can't really stand him up. He was...
Neither can he, really.
Yeah, yes, very good.
Was, so he, was he basically statesman. An alcoholic?
I think he probably was.
Well,
yeah.
I think in Russian standards, no, but global standards, probably
yes.
He said Bjorn Borg's face looked like a plate of meatballs.
Yeah, he not only just said that, he said that at a conference in Sweden to a lot of Swedish
just
people.
Just talk about, you know, the guy who set up IKEA who recently died?
Mm. I didn't know he recently died.
Yes, yeah.
I mean,
he. I thought there was going to be loads of IKEA sort of flat-pack furniture gags on Facebook. There wasn't. But he said that when he was trying to open the first IKEA in Moscow or St. Petersburg, he had loads of meetings with the Russians and they were drinking lots of vodka throughout it. And he actually says he developed an alcohol dependency. It just knocked him to sleep. I mean, they just said that the vodka was day in, day out, just part of the ritual. And he said he found it really difficult, which makes me think that Putin... He must sit down at big kind of conference tables a lot with
just
lots of people
vodka.
Offering him vodka. So he must.
Well, that's what Stalin did, didn't he? He insisted that his board sat together until 5 o'clock in the morning when they were writing policy and just drank excessively so that he could get what he wanted through. So, yeah, it's probably a good thing. I mean, I put him down
Stalin's
as my
not
spit,
the role model, really, is he?
But if Putin did give me anything to drink, I would be spitting it, ladies and gentlemen, or I'd have an official taster. So that's my spit or swallow.
Excellent.
We are now going to move on to something we could spit or swallow because it's a wine tasting with you, Sam.
Yay!
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
So for this week, I am going to taste a red wine and a white wine. And what I thought was I would taste a couple of more esoteric grape varieties.
Have you run out of the big ones?
No, I haven't run out of the big ones at all. But I just thought it's Easter in a few weeks. So I thought most people are having lamb. I think I'm going to try and abstain this year.
Mm. Why?
You know what? Every year, this happens every year. We live in the country and they've always got the little lambs up in the biodynamic farm.
My son's just been
us.
To a lambing at the local farm.
They're so cute. Yeah. And I just, every year I go, I don't want to munch a lamb. Mm. Every year
really
I smell
are.
The lamb yeah. cooking and I always go back succumb on my word and eat the lamb. This year, I've said to my husband, I'm categorically not eating lamb this Easter.
Why? Because they look cute and fluffy.
Because, you know
they
what?
They are children. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it sounds really hypocritical. Yeah,
they're
they're
children,
not children,
but they are sheep.
I know, but they're
children.
Baby
sheep.
They're little sheep.
They're sheep children.
So for me, I am not going to be eating lamb. However, I've got a white and a red. And rather than recommending Cabernet, because normally with lamb you'd recommend a Cabernet Sauvignon, because Cabernet is quite minty.
Okay.
So if you think of lamb and mint sauce, a Cabernet Sauvignon is the perfect match for lamb.
That's good.
So there is another option. But I thought I'd do something different than go with the tried and tested, let's have a Cabernet Sauvignon. So I've got a red wine made from Giriff. Which actually makes me chuckle because apparently it was propagated by a guy called Dr. Giriff. It just sounds like something out of a Bond film. So we'll give that a go. And then I've also got another esoteric wine for the white, which is a ferment.
Well, that's got to have mint in it, hasn't it? It's got it on the label.
Not at all. Not at all. So let's pour the first one. So we're going to pour the...
So there's no connection between either of these wines other than they go well with lamb.
No, there's no connection between...
This is a white wine.
Yeah, there's no connection...
You can't have white wine with lamb.
You are if you're vegetarian and not having the bloody lamb.
Oh!
So we're catering for those who are trying not to eat the little gambling lambs.
Right, this
so
is a good idea.
We're just doing two... unusual grape varieties for Easter, one white, one red. The first one is from the company Royal Tokai.
Tokai,
white from Hungary.
Had a Tokai, red. But we've had the white. So normally Tokai is a sweet, luscious, rich pudding wine. And the main grape varieties in it are Ferment and Hazlevlu.
I beg your pardon?
And Hazlevlu.
Hazlevlu. I love you.
Yeah, have a couple more glasses of this and then you can say that to your missus.
Or to you, Sam.
Or to me, even better. So this is a dry ferment, and they've said on it specifically that it's dry because normally ferment is in sweet Tokai. And so it's the grape variety is Ferment. Wow. It's 2016. Ferment's quite neutral, quite high acid, which is why it works very well in Tokai. And this one's had a little bit of oak.
That is bone dry.
Is that dry? I can't. Wait a minute.
I don't know. It's pretty acidic.
Right, the clue is dry ferment. I think we can safely assume it is dry.
That
is
dry. But it's still quite...
I don't know. My tongue's...
Yeah.
But the actual... like a belly talk.
See, I like that. And this is quite a smart wine. So this is exclusively for Sainsbury's. So it's Sainsbury's Taste the Difference. So it's £10 a bottle.
What?
Yeah, beautiful,
crazy talk.
Beautiful bottle. It's got Tokai embossed on the bottle.
It's got a long neck.
Well, that doesn't earn it £10.
But can you can.
It's got a royal crown on the front, I suppose.
Oh, I like it, actually. It hasn't got loads of really obvious fruit flavour. It's quite restrained aromatically, but you've got quite a lot of spice. It's basically fermented in stainless steel, but after fermentation, half goes into oak. So you get...
And then they mix it together again.
Yeah.
I think it smells quite oaky.
Yeah,
but then
it does.
It doesn't really...
So what would
sort
you
of vanillins and caramelly? None of those sort of.
But
oaky
the finish
notes.
Is lovely. Like you can taste it for ages.
It's lovely,
it's
really growing on me.
That really lovely texture. So it's kind of just lightly spicy, very fresh, quite elegant. I think this is a slightly unusual wine.
Yeah,
the whole point of this tasting.
And it's
were you about to say what would you eat with it?
Yes, I was going to say, what would you have with this if you were a lamb denier?
Oh, crikey, I think you could have loads of things. I think because of that acid, you know, it can cut through lots of things. I think what would be lovely with this would be a spring green risotto.
Risotto.
Oh.
Yeah, like
nice
imagine
risotto.
Like a really nice creamy risotto with like broad beans and peas, maybe some artichokes, you know, something really yummy. And then this citrous acidness would cut through the richness and the parmesan and the butter. but they've got that texture on the finish with a bit of
a blue cheese
the
salad
spice.
Might be quite nice with this.
I'll tell you what, a dash of sage and something peachy.
Really? You're reading the back of the label. But yeah, it's got some nice herbal notes in. Is that new to you, chaps?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you haven't tried a Thermid before.
I'm still...
The jury's out for you, I can tell.
No. I'm still not quite sure what it is. As in, if I went into the off licence or Majestic or Sainsbury's, obviously I'll be asking, the name of the wine style is Ferment, is it?
The grape is Ferment. So rather than having a Chardonnay or a Sauvignon...
exclusive to Hungary?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Let's say 95%. I think you're getting another
Hungary's
Eastern...
famous for the Tokaj dessert one, which we tried.
Yes.
And this is their second most famous
sort of style. So the grapes that make Tokaj are Ferment and Haslivlu. They're the two grapes.
Okay,
and there's another one as well that goes in there as well.
I'm not ordering a Haslivlu because everyone will just...
forget that. And it's...
give me a handkerchief.
It's a nightmare to spell as well. But yeah, so basically the Ferment is the grape. So like some wines you might go and it might have a Chardonnay on it or a Cabernet.
Okay.
This Ferment is the grape variety. The company is Royal Tokaj and it's Sainsbury's Taste the Difference Dry Ferment.
I've never heard of that.
No.
Well, that's why I'm trying to...
I reckon after a while that's going to come down, because I think a lot of people are going to look at that and think, I don't know what that is. And then I think the £10 price point will drop after a few months.
Well, I like it so much, I'm going to scull the rest of this as you pour the next one.
It is lovely, and I do think that it's a grower. I think when you have a glass, and I think it's probably a food wine. Like,
what percentage is it?
I'd have it with Twiglets or peanuts before the meal.
But you have everything with Twiglets or peanuts.
Well,
it's a go-to.
But I think that's very elegant, a bit different, and also it looks very smart, so it'd be nice for a gift. So if you're going to someone for Easter...
can you give a taste of difference?
Easter,
no.
Is it a gift?
No, you can't. You can't.
I'm sorry.
Really? So Sainsbury's on the front.
Guys, that's a bit snobby.
No, I mean, I think they're great. I think the range is great.
I wouldn't know that someone would pay £10 for it. That
If I'm gifting wine, I go for something cheap and unknown.
Okay. Now, look, guys, tell me what you think about this bottle. Oh, my God, it's so heavy. Oh,
I've tried this before.
No.
Oh, have you?
I think it's trying
like
a bit
looks like
too
a
hard.
Sheriff's badge.
Yeah. It does look like a sheriff's badge.
It's not rusty,
so the second wine we're trying is another slightly left-field grape variety, and this is called Durif, spelt D-U-R-I-F, and it's Burton Vineyard Durif, available at Aldi for £7.49.
Okay.
And this is a nice price point. Now, boys, what do you think about the colour?
Well, first of all, can we just deal with the name? Durif, Ferment? They do both sound like cleaning products. I'm not sure about their name. And also, just on the bottle, I think it looks sleek and quite sort of sexy, and it's got a silver plaque on the front. I don't know if it's just trying a bit too hard.
I think that's all right. I think that's all right.
Getting away with it.
Also, just to describe it to the listeners, because this is an audio medium.
Yeah, so it's a long, skinny bottle in a Bordeaux bottle, but Bordeaux extended. It's even longer than a Bordeaux bottle. Mm. And it's got nothing on the bottle at all, apart from a little, as Ben rightly says, like a little silver sheriff's badge.
Yep.
But yeah, as I was saying before, Durif is a great variety that was propagated by a guy called Dr. Durif, hence its name. And it's...
where is it made?
It was initially made in France, and its parents are Syrah, and I have to say, a great variety I'm not familiar with, Pelorsa.
Wow, you're not familiar with?
Yeah.
The great master and mistress of wine.
However, in Australia, it's very widely planted in the Riverina and Riverland area, which are kind of where you get more sort of value, cheaper wines from, because you can crop it quite heavily, and it's still got these amazing colours and amazing flavours.
It's very nice.
But look at the... it's 14.5%.
You're right. I think it would go very well...
With lamb. Or any big red meat. So a steak or beef.
Do you have red currant cheddar? Yeah, you do.
I think you do.
And I think this goes...
You can have what you like. Yeah, I mean, I have mustard.
Mayonnaise if you want.
Yeah, I have mustard.
But no, red currant jelly is something I traditionally have had in my family.
For years.
It's also known as Petit Syrah in America.
Oh, okay.
Petit Syrah in America. Fruity and rich.
I like that.
Yeah, it's just very fruity, very rich, loads of black fruit. Let me taste how much. Taste it.
That is really nice.
It sticks around, doesn't it?
I would.
Quite jammy.
That's a good gifting wine because it looks like...
It looks more like the sheriff's badge gives it...
If you like
certain
authority, Ben. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, if you like big colour, big flavour, lots of fruit, but some smoothness, and this is aged on sort of oaks or chips and staves, So you get that lovely kind of oaky flavour. It's just a more affordable way to make it oaked. And also, as an aside, when I used to be a buyer, I used to buy quite a lot of wines from Bob Burton, who owns Burton Vineyard with some other people. And he is one of the nicest men. Such a nice bloke. So not only are the wines fantastic, but he is also a really nice guy. And in this area of Riverina, where you get quite a lot of Giriff, there's another winemaker who's not Bob, called Sam. And his reg plate is one Giriff. It's hilarious. You always know when Sam's around because he always recognises his truck.
Flipping out. Oh, okay. I think lucky they call them utes.
Yeah. Okay, I sound corrected. But ute. So they're my two more esoteric varieties for Easter.
Brilliant.
A ferment. I think that's good.
Yeah.
For those maybe who are abstaining this year from lamb, given the increasing vegetarianism.
This idea that you shouldn't, because they're nice and fluffy and young.
Well, no, it's more the fact that they're young. They've just, yeah. I mean, it's why people, I think, are a bit more...
Oh, it's okay,
because it's had no
kill
life.
Old people, is it?
Well, yeah. Some old people want to kill themselves and can't, Ben. I mean, killing old people, that's another debate entirely. Let's not get started on
silence
this.
Of the,
but I think you'd make a case
of the lambs.
Over if you had to kill a child or an old person. Go.
Well, I don't know. Depends how they're behaving. Well, I think they're very nice.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks.
Really enjoyed that. And and it's put me in the mood, I tell you.
Great.
To listen to A Legend of Liquor. And this week, it is Ben.
In past podcasts, we have talked at some length about the American craft beer revolution that in turn inspired the craft boom, which we experience right here in this country right now. And we've talked about, do you remember Jack McAuliffe, the guy who started New Albion, who doesn't really get the credit he deserves? We've also talked about Ken Grossman at Sierra Nevada, who...
Great man.
A great man who started the Sierra Nevada brewery out of White Shop back in the early 80s.
Yeah,
in Chico, great town. God, I love Chico. Should we go back there, Ben?
Oh, be amazing. But this week, I want to talk about what probably the third legend of liquor related to the West Coast beer scene.
The third point in the triangle.
The third leg on the stool.
Okay. That's better than a triangle. Although we did shapes before.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done triangles a lot. My last Legend of Liquor was a triangle. Yeah.
Well, actually, so let's make this the new
one. Oh, hang on.
Whose was the horse?
Let's go back to that triangle, because Ben's news just in.
Remember those two guys that approached me in a pub and listened to the podcast?
Yes.
Guess what he was drinking?
Bass.
And do you know why?
Because you talked.
Because he'd heard about it, and he'd been telling the bartender what we've been talking about. So there we go.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, I like
this
that.
This is happening.
Brands with money.
Yes. We are influencing.
We can shift pints.
Yeah. So there you are. But this week, I want to talk about a man called Fritz Maytag, who is the guy that breathed life back into a brewing company in San Francisco called the Anchor Brewing Company. And basically, they were one of the few breweries to remain open during Prohibition. They stayed open because they were making baking soda, in inverted commas, I think.
So a bit like money laundering, when actually you're pretending you're like doing dry cleaning.
I'm not sure whether a lot of the illegal was happening,
they were selected, weren't they? They were allowed to stay open for chemical, medicinal purposes.
Yes.
They were using their methods.
Essentially, in the 50s, after the Second World War, there was this massive consolidation in the brewing world in America. All the big breweries like Pabst, Miller, Budweiser, all went round buying up all the little breweries. Because back in the 50s, after the Second World War, everyone was just wanting to buy American goods. The TV culture had started, TV dinners had started. People just wanted homogenous American brands. And so the beer sort of landscape became incredibly monochrome and sort of one-dimensional. But Anchor Brewing in San Francisco remained open, but the beer was shit. It was really, really bad. All the sort of small brewery beer was pretty bad as well, mainly because in California the weather was very hot, so the beer spoiled. Now, Fritz Maytag, he's the son of a guy who, he's part of a Maytag family who made washing machines. So he's from a very rich background. He was just a lager drinker. He didn't really drink beer, wasn't really into beer. But he sort of stumbled across this beer called Anchor Beer, which back then was slightly better than the other beers, because as he told me when we interviewed him, because San Francisco has its own little weather sort of climate there, It's a bit cooler than the rest of California.
A microclimate,
exactly. Thank you. That meant that the Anchor beer didn't spoil as quickly as the others. So it was
cooler.
It was cooler. And essentially, there was this brewery. It's ramshackle. It's run down. No, most people in San Francisco didn't even know it was still open. And he bought it. And he breathed life back into the brewery. This was in the 60s. He did nothing about beer at all. And then he started going to brewing conferences, speaking to other brewers. And at the same time, all of a sudden, people were becoming a bit more enlightened to better beer. And also with the Vietnam War, which a bit later, people were rejecting these big American brands. So bit by bit, he made the beer better. He moved the brewery to the Potrero District in San Francisco. And essentially, Anchor Steam Beer, which is still available today, is the beer that a lot of people say kickstarted the craft brewing revolution along with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And it's called Anchor Steam because people in San Francisco used to be able to see the open-air fermenters, the steam coming off the rooftop of the brewery. So it's
can you get it in the UK?
Yes, you
it's
can.
It's been here for a while, hasn't it? It's one of those.
That and Pale Ale were one of the first ones to come across to the UK. This was sort of 20 years ago.
Well, this was before we were writing the
early late 90s,
guides.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's a really good beer, also called California Common. He sold it in 2010, but he didn't grow it that big. He had no intention of making it big, but they still used open fermenters. They used whole hops. It's a really lovely beer. And he is a very kind of engaging guy.
He's a very bright guy, isn't
very
he?
Very bright guy, yeah.
And he's also...
He bamboozled us with weather stuff when we went
yeah.
to...
Yeah, he's quite... Yeah. Talking about it. We were a bit out of our
yeah,
depth.
He mentioned isobars and the like.
But
he also championed spirits as well.
Yes, and
craft
he's...
spirits.
Yeah.
And what's interesting when you look at the craft brewing scene in America and you watch the graph of success and how it's peaked over the last 30 years, craft distilling is following the same pattern exactly. And he was there and he launched a gin and a whiskey. And we were just saying earlier that old Potrero, which is his whiskey, is about to get a new lease of life. Berry Brothers are bringing that back here.
Ah.
So he's got form across the whole drinks gamut, hasn't he, Ben? Well, I don't know if he ever made any wine.
No, I don't think so.
But I agree, he's a total legend.
He's amazing. And he reintroduced Anchor Steam in bottle in 1971. And then not long after... A lot of competition came in, and that sort of saved it. But if he hadn't done it, then there wouldn't have been a kind of touchstone in terms of styles and the way to do it. So, I mean, he had the money to do it, which helped, which is what Jack McAuliffe, who we talked about before, that he didn't have that luxury of a bit of family coin behind him.
I think it helps as well in a city like San Francisco, which is quite
say,
open-minded.
So
yeah,
and
they want to. They
I
want
love
to
San
taste
Francisco.
It. It's a good
been
town.
For years.
It's a
Love
good
it.
Town.
And it's still there. The brewery's still running.
I thought you meant San Francisco.
San Francisco's still
yeah.
there.
Still
well, it
there.
Has a lot of earthquakes.
And it is on the West Coast, so it's a bit of an easy target. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed. Exactly. Earthquakes. What's going on there? But it's still there.
Being part of the Institute of Masters of Wine, you get a lot of... you can go on a lot of amazing trips a year that are largely supported by various sort of countries and institutes and whatnot. And... being a full-time mother, I can't go to any of them. And the only one this year that I was absolutely gutted about, there's the most amazing trip to sort of Napa and all around the vineyards. And, I can't go.
Why can't you just...
take 6 hours with me?
I mean, how long are these trips?
This one was quite a long one, at least a week.
A week is pushing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's when you get into that territory.
Yeah, it was a shame because I just looked at it and I thought, oh, God, I'd love to go on there.
About to turn down California. We're going to be working... with a California beer in our show this year.
Yeah, Lagunitas. We're working with Lagunitas.
They're nice.
Who, really lovely beer.
I'm going to come up and see you again this year.
Good.
Are you still at the bank holiday weekend?
Yep. No.
Yeah. Are we going to we go on the Monday. But
Monday
we'll be there Saturday and the Sunday.
But you'll be doing the show Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
Our last two shows, so it will be pretty lackluster.
But we're doing the South Bank in London. On the
14th of April.
14th, oh God, it's
the 14th. Saturday, 14th of April, March, Underbelly 17th. South Bank.
Will we have Lagunitas in that show?
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Well, good, that's all sound brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, well, so that's Fritz Maytag. Go and buy the beer, Anchor Steam, and they do an Anchor Porter. They do a really good barley wine called Old Foghorn.
They still do their small beer, that was all right as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's great
go
stuff.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Sam, for your tasting.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm mildly...
You can take
enhanced
it
as a human being for drinking that. I hope you enjoyed that, listeners. We'll be back again next week with more drink ramblings. Thanks for listening and speak to you then. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.